We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Trollo.
Welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you for riding shotgun with us. As always, it's greatly appreciated. Today's show is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Chilton Auto Body text line is open. It's the same number as the phone line if you want to get down. 888-957-9570. Michael Lombardi joined us just over a half hour ago. Antonio Brown to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Could it happen? Tom Brady wants him. Interesting, these reports are coming out 24 hours after Brady's former team goes out and signs 2015 MVP quarterback Cam Newton. Lombardi also said something else that was interesting. Salary cap in the NFL is not expected to go up next year. Big reason for that? Well, if you can't put fans in the seats, you're going to lose out on revenue. And the average gate is expected to bring in about $3 billion a year for the NFL. 256 regular season games, parking, tickets, all that stuff. All that stuff. $3 billion. Now, Joel Corey joined us yesterday and said the NFL is going to try to be smart. Rather than take a massive salary cap hit, they'll try to stretch this out over a few years and keep the salary cap flat. That could help, but it hurts a team like the Niners. No longer do they have tons of money to spend. They rank about 16th right now in salary cap space with about $15 million. But he talked specifically about Dee Ford and Quan Alexander and Dibs, how those deals might not make sense 1 year from now. So you got to ask yourself, if you don't want to go in on Antonio Brown this year, fine, I understand. But if those two guys are going to be gone from the mix next year, does that increase the pressure on going out and winning a Super Bowl this season? This window could be a lot smaller than we originally thought.
Yeah, and it increases the pressure on Kinlaw and also Greenlaw, the two laws. The law is going to have to step up, because if you're going to end up parting ways with Quan Alexander, that's going to be Dre Greenlaw's spot to play alongside Fred Warner, assuming that Fred Warner is going to be in your future plans, which you figure they are. The Dee Ford one is interesting, Joe, because last year he was a disappointment. He didn't play enough to be fully impactful. We know that when he was on the field, Nick Bosa was more effective. The pass rush was much more effective, but he couldn't get on the field. And so if he has a year this year where he fulfills the promise, then all of a sudden you might be looking at him being a loss if, in fact, you have to cut ties with him at the end of the season. But if he comes out this year and has a year like he did in 2019, then all of a sudden you won't feel the effect of him coming off the books as much as you otherwise would have thought.
Lolo, you thinking the same thing?
Looking at you look at what he's supposed to bring to the table. With me, I love this guy. I love when he talks about legendary. Loves it the way that Quan Alexander plays. All the things that he brings to the table. And you, when Lombardi came on and said it's a chance that he will not be here next year, and talked about the outside pass rusher as well, it was like, I'm like, man. Just, you know, 3 years, it'd only be 2 years and then done. I mean, that'd be horrible. He's such an amazing player. But when, you know, he talks about the cap not going up, for me, it does put pressure on this team to win now. Puts pressure on this team to win this year, to win a Super Bowl, not just a playoff run. It's to win a Super Bowl, because you're going to lose two defensive players of that magnitude next year. it's going to be hard to get back to a Super Bowl. So that's why it's even more advantageous, in my opinion, to have this team look really hard at Antonio Brown to say, you know what? This guy's on a one-year rental. He's a one-year rental. I'm getting him at the cheap, and I'm going to ride him. I'm going to, and here's the thing. I'm not going to have him saying, oh, I'm going to complain, because you know what? I'm going to go to him, Dibs. I'm not going to make this guy miserable, because you need him to win. So if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, if you can target this guy 5-6 times a game, he's going to be fine. And that's not asking a lot. If you're saying 5 or 6 targets for Antonio Brown, a receiver of that magnitude, and then you still got 7 to 8 targets for Kittle, you know, you look at those, that situation, that takes you to 16 passes. You're going to throw the ball, what, 25 to 30 times a game? So just right there, if you target, you know, those two guys, you know, 8 or 8 times a piece, whatever, 16 balls. You still got another, you know, 15 to 30, 20 balls to go around. So I, right now, especially what Lombardi said about two defensive players going to maybe be leaving after the season, no question to me, I do think that it's all or nothing this year. You win a Super Bowl this year.
Let's go to Vegas. He's the host for Mad Dog Sports Radio, Lotus Broadcasting. Check out the book, The Handoff. Good friend of ours, JT the Brick, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. JT, thank you for the time. We've heard that Seattle might be interested in Antonio Brown. We've heard he's working out with the Baltimore Ravens. I was following you on Twitter yesterday. A new team possibly emerging into the mix. What are you hearing?
Hello, old friends. Good to be back. Yes, I have a source who was right on Gronk. When Gronk was in their building, people thought he was there for wrestling. No, he was about to get signed by Tampa Bay, and the same source told me Antonio Brown was in the building yesterday. So there's definitely interest in Tampa Bay with Antonio Brown. I'm not a fan. Never been. I thought he derailed and screwed the Raiders over, but Tom Brady loves him. Tom Brady fits in well with him, loves the chemistry with him, and Tampa Bay is taking a really close look at Antonio Brown.
What are you hearing about the league as far as adjudication of any possible suspension or what his availability might be this upcoming season for all 16?
Nothing on that. I would assume that he wouldn't be available, Dibs, for that. I don't think he'd be available for all 16. I think the commissioner still will have a ruling with him, even though that's been very quiet when you're dealing with issues that aren't drug-related and has to do with domestic issues and the way you treat women. The league takes that very seriously. Plus, I think his psych evaluations are important. I thought he was tremendously unstable as a human being, let alone a football player, but it's been a while. He's got a Hall of Fame career on pause. He's a great player. Since 2013, he only played one game last year. And since 2013, he's still the most productive receiver in the league. So I think he's probably got a lot left, and Tampa wants Tom Brady to have another weapon.
No question. And JT, when you think about Antonio Brown, you look at Bruce Arians as the head coach and Tom Brady. It seems as if when he left Oakland, you saw him just, you know, run out of his house and so excited. In New England, he was doing well. But of course, a case just came about. How do you think he will act? Do you think the best behavior, because they say a hungry dog hunts best and hasn't made the type of money he's used to? Do you think that he's going to be on good behavior in Tampa, or do you think it'll rear his ugly head?
Yeah, that's a great question, I would assume. I mean, he's the classic guy, and Joe and I have been in fights together. He reminds me of the classic boxer. He will go broke. No matter when he comes back, he will lose all of his money to taxes, spending, overspending, divorce, kids. So he's the classic guy that won't have a penny left when it's all said and done, because he's completely out of control on every level. But he's got to be completely desperate to play right now and come back. He loves the game. He misses the game. But, you know, I had a front row seat in that preseason up in Napa and traveling with the Raiders, and he could be the sweetest and nicest guy 1 minute and then lose his mind, and you don't know which guy's going to show up the next day. So I believe that he's a guy that you got to sign with incentives like a Cam Newton, bring him in, put him on a really short leash when it comes to behavior issues, and If he's out there, he's healthy, he plays hard, he's tough, he fights for every ball. It's just a shame it didn't work in Oakland because Oakland brought him in for all the right reasons. He was vetted, they thought he was ready to play, and then mentally he didn't have the capacity to even make it to week one for the Raiders.
JT the Brick, Mad Dog Sports Radio, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. No Antonio Brown in Tampa yet. Where do you rank them in the NFC hierarchy? And if they get Brown, what does that do for them moving forward?
Well, Joe, I got them pretty high to begin with because of Brady and what they have on defense, and especially with Godwin and Evans. You know, and Brady, I think they're going to be at a real high level. I'm also hearing from the same source that I have in Tampa that there's a good chance Gronk's not going to play. Gronk can't put on any of the weight. And it's not from the TV shows that you think he's doing and the wrestling and all that. He cannot keep any of his football weight on, period. He looks like a male model. And without that weight and the size he was, he can't block at the line of scrimmage. He no longer has the speed left. And he can't play in the league and be productive if he doesn't put that weight back on. So I believe that they're kicking the tires on Antonio Brown. I know they are, because I don't believe that Gronk is going to be a part of that plan going forward, and that's a big weapon that they thought they had. But you know, I think they're a top four team. I'd put them right there. They're not nowhere near the 49ers. They're not, I don't think, Green Bay. You look at Drew Brees in New Orleans coming back for one more ride, and then Seattle. I don't think they're there or even with Seattle. So I think they're outside the top four teams, but they have Brady.
When you look at the Niners offensively, JT, do you see them primed for a regression with Emmanuel Sanders gone, Deebo Samuel slightly injured, and maybe teams catching on to what Kyle Shanahan was trying to do offensively last year?
Yeah, I don't see that. I think the Niners and their offense and their talent and what John Lynch has done, I think they're built to be really good for a while. Remember, we saw the step back from the Rams, and the Rams had a pretty good roster, but Gurley was hurt, and I think they came back, and again, another Super Bowl hangover. So you wonder if the Niners are going to have that Super Bowl hangover that a lot of teams have and not go back. But look, that roster, I heard you guys talking about Kittle and what they do on offense, and the way they ran the ball the second half of the year and in the postseason was very impressive to me with that offensive line, and especially their big offseason addition on the offensive line. So, you know, the problem for the Niners are the same problem for the Rams and the Seahawks is that division. You know, you could run into the Seahawks twice and they can beat you twice. You can run into the Rams twice, they could beat you twice. But the Niners have done a very good job building that roster, and that's going to be a pretty good roster for the next couple of years. They're going to be a tough out.
And when you say that, JD, JT, when you think about what the Niners have in losing Manuel left and went to New Orleans, he was their number one. Then you're going to have Deebo be your number two, step up to be number one. He's going to be out. You have injuries at the receiver. You still think this offense you think is going to hum? Wouldn't you put eight guys in the box, nine guys in the box, double Kittle, and say who else is going to make someone else beat you? And also, DeForest Buckner, last I checked, he was a pretty good defensive lineman that let leave the building as well.
Yeah, that's a big loss. That's a big loss. But I think they had the riches up front. As I said all last year, the Niners don't make the playoffs. They don't make the playoffs without Bosa. That was one of the most impactful players that I've seen come into this league since Khalil Mack, and he didn't drive the Raiders to deep into the playoffs. Bosa was the X factor, I thought, on that team. The gravitas that he had, his ability to do well. So I think that defensive line will be good. I was wrong on Jimmy Garoppolo. I did not think Jimmy Garoppolo would play at that level all year long and have some of the big performances. I thought he got a little bit exposed in the postseason. In one game, he didn't have to throw it at all, and they won easily running. And then in the Super Bowl, he missed a couple of big passes in the fourth quarter. But again, I think the Niners and John Lynch, they have enough stars and players on that team to be able to reload. And the good news for the Niners is that, you know, you're looking at New Orleans, I don't think they're going to be better. Seattle doesn't have a great roster. They have a great quarterback. They didn't get Aaron Rodgers any help. You want to talk about the fit for Antonio Brown, it would be Green Bay, and making up for the Jordan Love pick for him coming in there in the first round, and they need another wide receiver there. So we'll see what happens. I'm definitely not going to say the Niners are going to miss the playoffs. I think the Niners are a playoff team. It just comes down to the division or the wild card, and I don't think they could win multiple playoff games if they're a wild card team.
JT the Brick with us here on 95.7 The Game. I know there's a lot going on in the world, but those pictures of Allegiant Stadium sure look nice from the 15, and I know the practice facility just opened in Henderson. What's the buzz like for the Raiders right now down in Vegas?
There's a monster buzz here for the Raiders in Vegas, and really for the Raider fans from all over the country now that have a stadium that they can go to. That state-of-the-art. It'll be the jewel of the NFL. Remember, L.A. Stadium is going to be bigger. It's going to be much bigger. The problem is it's in Inglewood. This one's in Las Vegas on the Strip with windows that open up, a parasol window that opens up to the Strip, and it's going to be the most exciting place to see football in this team, which is vastly improved. And like I said when I was on the radio up there, and I'll say it again, no one wanted to leave Oakland. Those fans are unbelievable. And for business and political reasons, the worst political sports town in the history of politics, they left. And now they're here, and the Raiders have their own stadium. The practice facility is as good as any that's ever been built behind the Star in Dallas. And the Raiders have no excuses. The offensive line's loaded. Carr's got every dream weapon he could ever have. And they had an unbelievable offseason on defense and free agency, even though they still got to prove it on defense this year.
Mark Davis, the only owner to vote against the proposal that came out yesterday about ads in seats and having to block off eight rows of seats. While I understand Mark Davis's concern that some fans, thousands of them, in fact, won't be able to get into the new stadium for the season, did you find it to be a little bit tone deaf from the owner, not thinking about player safety first and foremost?
Absolutely not. That's all he's talked about is player safety. That's what he cares about. He cares about every player there. He cares about Black Lives Matter. He's been one of the most vocal owners in all of sports when it comes to the issues of racial indifference and health with this team. And, you know, Mark Davis cares about those fans in the first eight rows, as he said to Vinny Bonsignore. These are the fans that bought those tickets up front for a reason, and they're sold out. Unlike Oakland, where it was tarped in the upper deck, there's no place to put them in Allegiant Stadium. Unless you're going to give them all sideline passes and let them sit in the suite, those seats are important to him. So I think what Mark Davis wanted is he didn't want the vote right at that second. Let's see this develop, because I'm sure, as you guys are talking about, we're going to have a season with fans, half fan capacity, or maybe in a state like Nevada, if things go okay, it'll be different than other states and we'll be able to have more fans than expected. But it's very fluid, and I think Mark thought that through because he clearly is caring about those fans. And he doesn't want to displace anybody, even though it's tough, because we all know the elephant in the room. Are we going to have fans this season, guys?
Host for Mad Dog Sports Radio and Lotus Broadcasting. Check out the book, The Handoff. Always generous with his time. JT the Brick here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks so much for jumping on, JT. Stay cool down there.
Thanks, guys. Always appreciate it. All the best.
All right, so there you have it. There you have it. You're referencing a story we talked about earlier this morning. For those who may not have seen it, there was a vote. We talked about this last week. The NFL had a vote in which stadiums are going to, and this is all stadiums, going to use the first eight rows of the stadium, and they're going to tarp them off. And on those tarps, you're allowed to put advertising, regional advertising, as long as it does not conflict with any of the league's national sponsors. So, for example, if the national sponsor is Anheuser-Busch, I think that's the case, I could be wrong, you can't have a regional beer sponsor that isn't affiliated with Anheuser-Busch, right? It's a way to make some money if you're not allowed to have full capacity, and it's also a way to create some distance between the fans and the players. So there's a financial implication. There's also a health implication. The vote went 31-1. With the lone dissenter being Mark Davis, the owner of the Oakland Raiders. Essentially, in Nevada right now, it's a little bit more lax. And I say a little bit very loosely. It's way more lax than it is in California. The casinos are open. People are required to wear masks now, but you can get away with a heck of a lot more down there than you can here, especially in light of the news that LA County is shutting all the beaches down for July 4th weekend as a public health concern. So Davis is upset and voted against it, because he has a packed house scheduled for all eight home games. Every single game at Allegiant Stadium is sold out. And for those who bought tickets and season tickets and are in the first eight rows, 3,500 people of which did that, times eight games, they're not going to be able to have their seats, and you can't put them anywhere else. So that is why he's voting against this. Dibs, you went ahead and asked JT the Brick about it. I mean, do you think Davis is a bit tone deaf going ahead and voting against it when everyone else is voting for it?
Which is why I loaded up the question on JT, knowing that JT would represent the other side. I'm not a huge fan of the loaded question, but in this case, when I knew that JT was going to take up for the owner, I thought that I would exercise that opportunity to get my little shot in there, Joe, because I do believe it's tone deaf. And JT is right. Mark Davis has been at the forefront among NFL owners supporting Black Lives Matter and other causes that are close to the players. But in this case, I feel as though having those eight rows of a buffer from a safety standpoint should trump the fact that he wants to have a full house for his brand new stadium. So I feel a little bit like, and especially when you see that he's the only owner, I know he vehemently argued his point, and then they bring it up for a vote, and he votes against it. It doesn't have to be unanimous, but I thought it would have been a better sign from the NFL if all 32 owners were on board with this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, though. He's unfortunately, Mark has been a little tone deaf to this. You look at 31 of the other owners voted the other way. Why? Because they know we're dealing with the pandemic. The why is because they're saying, hey, look, we're not even for sure that we're going to get through the whole season. And we need to make sure that we're making some concessions for the government, people to know, hey, look, we are listening to, we're adhering to what they're saying in these particular places. So I think that Mark has to realize that. And yes, he is for the fans. And yes, he wants those 3,200 people to be in those seats. We understand that. That's great. And it's very noble. But at the end of the day, also, he's got to realize what's at stake here. And that's health for the players, saying if they're in your best interest to protect your players and showing that, you know, being that close could cause, this to spread even more. I think that, hey, I know it's tough, Mark, but I think that he is being definitely, like Dibs is saying, tone deaf to the environment, his environment around him.
Another big name in the NBA is out for the Orlando restart. The first four names of Major League Baseball players who have decided they're not going to play this season are out as well. How much trouble are we in if we're looking forward to sports at the end of July? That's going to be on the other side. But first, the countdown is on. It's time to name the Bay Area's top 10 greatest athletes of all time. Starting Monday, we want you to submit your top 10 list at 957thegame.com. Tune in all next week as each host shares their top 10. And beginning Monday, July 13th, we'll tally up the fan votes to reveal the final top 10 list. Who makes the cut, who gets into the top 5, and who becomes the official greatest athlete in Bay Area sports history. Get your submissions ready. The debate starts Monday on 957thegame.com.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs.
I'm not going down the street and getting that Wendy's Happy Meal
on 957 The Game.
Friday, we had great news. Great news is Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, spoke to the masses and basically let you know we're moving forward. This is the world we're in right now. We have to learn to live with COVID-19, so the season moves on. They release their schedule. It looks fantastic. 16 straight days of basketball. Day one, doubleheader, Zion and the Pelicans against the Utah Jazz, followed by the Lakers against the Clippers. 16 straight. Now, there's no times set for the games on days 15 and 16 because presumably the league wants to see which games and matchups will be the most compelling based on seeding and playoff races and then adjust accordingly. So for the 14 days of games prior to that, 12 of those days feature games starting at 11:30 a.m. or earlier on the West Coast. It's going to be awesome. But we only got a couple days into that excitement before we started getting more news about players dropping out. We've already lost Trevor Ariza. We've already lost Avery Bradley, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Davis Bertans. And now we come to find out that DeAndre Jordan of the Brooklyn Nets is out as well, along with Wilson Chandler. Chandler's opting out. He's not going to play. Jordan tested positive for COVID-19. He already has some issues he battles regarding asthma and I believe some other breathing conditions, so he's not going to take the risk. He's not going to Orlando. And Spencer Dinwiddie, who plays for Brooklyn as well, he tested positive. He has yet to make a decision. So the Nets are falling apart at the seams. No Durant, no Kyrie Irving, no Wilson Chandler, no DeAndre Jordan, possibly no Spencer Dinwiddie. That's the Nets' problem. Hopefully everyone gets healthy and we see them down the line. I wonder, Dibs, I'll start with you. At what point, if we continue every couple days, a player here, a player there, an issue here, an outbreak in this state, rising concerns here, there, mask issues, at what point would you have to reach before you say, you know what, bag this whole thing? Or is there no point in which you would say that?
I think if we get to a situation where an entire team is not able to field any of their top eight guys, you're in a situation where this thing starts to cave in. Like, Brooklyn's a great example. You were mentioning Jordan is out, and Irving we know is out, Durant's out, Dinwiddie's a maybe, Wilson Chandler already pulled out. If you get to a point where you've only got two or three of your top eight or nine rotation guys going there, it feels a little farcical. The other piece that could really affect this is if you had one of the big-time, really big marquee guys, your Giannis, your Joel Embiid, your LeBron, your Kawhi, Harden, Westbrook. Take the biggest stars in the game. If one of them gets sick or if one of them decides that they don't want to go, this thing could collapse from the inside out.
Okay, to add something on top of that, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, 58 minutes ago on Twitter, quote, after positive tests for the coronavirus within the traveling party headed to Orlando, the Denver Nuggets have closed the team's practice facility for several days, sources tell ESPN. The facility was locked to players and staff starting Saturday and could open again later this week. Woj followed that up with a tweet that says, the next few days of testing will determine when the facility reopens to players and staff in Denver, per sources. In addition, Woj retweeted something from Andrew Lopez 16 minutes ago. Andrew Lopez is an NBA reporter for ESPN. David Griffin says the New Orleans Pelicans as an organization have had three players with positive COVID tests, but won't comment who that is. The follow-up is that those players are in self-isolation and are being tested daily. Those players can return to the team after 2 days of negative tests. So, Lo, I ask you, is there a point, and if so, what is it, where you could say to yourself, you know what, this is going to be a disaster, it's already off the rails, we got to bag this NBA season?
Yeah, I think that, like Dibs is just talking about, look at Brooklyn. Brooklyn, for instance, that's a team that doesn't want to be there. It's a team you see DeAndre Jordan say, you know what, hey, I'm not going to play. Why is he not going to play? He knows that he really doesn't have a chance. Come on, let's face it. The two superstars are not going to be there. That's like saying if Anthony Davis and LeBron said, oh, we're not going to play. Those two guys were injured. Would the Lakers be this adamant to say that they're going to go without those two guys? You know, if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, Fresno State's finest, decided, you know, if they were sick or were injured, would they be chomping at the bit to go out there and play? Of course not. Giannis, these guys aren't going to pull out. The only way they pull out if something happens, if they get the coronavirus. These players of this magnitude, they believe they can win. You don't think the Clippers believe they can win? You don't think the Giannis don't believe that they can win? Boston, you ain't going to see these guys saying, oh, I don't want to play and I don't want to be here. No, you have a lot of teams, like Dibs are saying, that they're just going out here for a token to get teams warmed up before the playoff starts. Brooklyn, they're just going out there. They're just a stepping stone. And you got guys are saying, forget it, I'm not doing it. But there's going to be guys on that team that want to compete. There's going to be guys, opportunities for guys like that to shine. Other people are still watching. You just got to realize, too, when players play, they don't just think, oh, I'm playing for Brooklyn. They think I'm playing for the other, you know, other teams that are out there that's going to be there, that's going to be watching, and also people to get to see. So as a player and as a professional, even though you might not want to play, even though you might not want to be there, one thing you do when you decide to step on the fields, play up on the court, whatever you do, your name has got to be on it. Your performance, you're as good as your performance, and people are going to see it. So, yes, a lot of those guys do not want to be there. They do not want to participate. But when they get on that court, they will play, and they will play at a high level.
All right, now that's what's going on in basketball. Yesterday, the first wave of Major League Baseball players declared that they would not be playing during the 2020 season. The first was Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher Mike Leake, former Giant. He's made $95 million in his career. He didn't really give a reason. He's just not going to play this season. The Washington Nationals had Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross, the pitcher, opt out as well. Zimmerman was the first pick in Nationals franchise history after the organization moved from Montreal. Now, Zimmerman has got a three-week-old baby, and he's got a mother with multiple sclerosis. He doesn't want to take any risks. I didn't get a reason for Joe Ross why he's opting out. He was scheduled to make $1.5 million total for a 162-game season if he played because He's only arbitration eligible, 5 years in the league. And then Ian Desmond, the Colorado Rockies outfielder, opted out. Desmond wrote a very lengthy, very poignant, very important social media post on Instagram as to why he's not playing. He's got a pregnant wife and four children already, so health is a concern. But at the same time, he pointed to racial disparities in baseball, issues inside locker rooms with homophobic jokes, racist jokes, things of that nature. I would suggest going to read it. Spend a few minutes reading what he has to say. He is a player that is held in very high regard. Our friend Sean Doolittle of the Nationals speaks highly of him. John Morosi, who joins us all the time, spoke very high of Ian Desmond yesterday. So he made some very interesting points. So we've got baseball players opting out, basketball players continuing to opt out. Dibs, at what point do you think we start hearing about football players opting out, if at all? Because that's going to be the one that really worries people. If, hey, by the way, a starting quarterback or a marquee running back decides, I'm not playing this season.
Well, I think when we get into camp and you're going to have 90 individuals with each other for 8 to 10 hours a day, and you know you can have the biggest meeting room you want, but you're going to have people indoors and recycled air and all those people together, coaches and trainers and medical people, medical personnel. I think when you get into NFL camps and you start to see a spate of positive tests, even if it runs at about, what, 5%, I think some leagues have tested at about 2.5% positive. Other leagues like MLS was closer to 5, I think. I may have the leagues wrong, but if you get into an NFL situation and you've got 90 guys trying to make a team and 5% of them test positive, that's 4 or 5 patients times 32 teams. You're talking about a big number of people. So I think if this coronavirus continues to spike as it has, and we get into football training camp in a month, you're going to see some guys, probably a pretty good number, the same kind of numbers we're seeing in baseball and basketball, guys deciding, I don't want to do this.
Lo, how do you think it's going to work? I mean, if you were in these locker rooms, you guys would be talking about it before you show up, then you show up. Dibs is talking about 90 players, then add on the coaching staff, add on interns, add on doctors, trainers, ball boys, all the people who are affiliated with this. This sport has more than anybody when it comes to people on a team and people that are going to be practicing. So how do you think the timeline works when people start deciding, you know what, this isn't going to be for me this year?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see that. I do know this. I think that you have a situation where, you know, I remember playing down in San Diego, and, you know, we had a deal of MRSA going around. And the trainers took very, very great precautions to go at a great stream of length to make sure, trying to keep other guys safe. And I think you'll see that. I think you'll see hand sanitizer around everywhere. You'll have a lot of masks around the around. You will break up meetings and start saying, instead of the team meeting, certain people are going to be you break it up and have guys separated. It's going to be more of a time constrict. Guys won't be able to necessarily leave you know, the training camp, and they're going to make it a lot different, a lot tougher, making sure guys are more isolated, not going to want guys to leave wherever their training facility are. So I think that you're going to see a lot stricter you know, things that are in place for players. Do I think that there's going to be a several players that pull out? I don't know, Dibs. When you say that, you realize what's at risk. You know, guys want their money. Guys want to, you know, make sure that they're going to be there. If football is a sport different than basketball and different than baseball, guys are taught to play hurt. Guys are taught to fight through things. Guys are taught to play with broken legs and broken fingers and dislocated, you know, joints. It's just, that's just the way that we are. So I know Corona is serious. So I see guys, if there's family or certain things, maybe guys that maybe isolate themselves differently. I don't think guys are going to be, you know, be around everyone as much as they would. But I just think that guys are just built different when you play football, Joe. Really do.
What do you make of the fans? And this is going to happen in football, because ultimately there are going to be some guys who at the very least have children, pregnant wives, relatives with family concerns. They might have health concerns to where they're going to have to not play. It's going to happen. You're not going to have 100% of the NFL population playing, right? So there's going to be a fan reaction. And there was an aggressive fan reaction yesterday in baseball. I think most normal people understand if a guy's not playing, he's not playing for good reason. It's not because he's trying to coast or free ride. It's not like he's getting paid. What do you make of the fans who come out Dibs, and are just irate about this. Like, do they have a right to be mad? Like, as a fan of sports, you have a right to be mad if a guy says, I'm not going to play this season.
No, and I don't think that we as humans have a right to judge each other in any way as far as this goes. Let's take a look at our situation. We're broadcasting from home, and we have been since mid-March. There's going to come a point when all of us go back to our studios in downtown San Francisco. If there's one of us or two of us or a few of us who aren't comfortable going back, do we have a right to judge? Like, if I say I don't feel comfortable going back to the studio for, you know, reasons A, B, and C, I would feel bad if you judged me for that. And so I look at sports the same way, where you take a player like DeAndre Jordan and he's deciding he's not going to go. Trevor Ariza, he's got a custody battle. So it's not necessarily a health situation, but he wants to spend a month with his child. He has a great opportunity to do so. So I think for you as a fan, you don't have the right to judge anybody in this pandemic as far as the reasons why they're doing what they're doing.
And I Church Pusey draws.
You know what, Joe? I think there's a few reasons. I don't know if, because I'm not all I'm not going to say that I'm going to be Church Pew and draws. Maybe church, because, I mean, you might say, I might say, Joe, and you might say, I'm not coming in because I know Diz's been golfing. He's been out there with people and doing certain things. Maybe I don't want to come back to the office for that reason. So there's going to be reasons that guys right. have that they don't want to necessarily come back. So it may not just be for, you know, it could be for what they think others are perceived to be doing as well.
Yeah. Somebody who has a large cleaning crew coming over to their apartment three times a week, for example.
Yeah, that's not good if you have a large cleaning crew to come to a small little studio. I mean, that wouldn't be very wise. I don't know who's doing that. I know.
Yeah,
I don't either.
Huh. All right, let's pivot. Here. Nice guy. This is where the Wheel of Fun serves us so much good. Spin it, please.
Still off, apparently.
Welcome to the Wheel of Fun with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game as we head into Bonte Stein and Guru coming up next. All right, fellas. England is opening things up on July 4th. And to me, that's just England totally trolling America over Independence Day and the fact that we're not going to have anything opened up by then. Am I wrong in saying that? That England is trolling us by opening things up on July 4th. Dibs, what about you?
No, I don't think you're wrong. And it, payback is not a female dog, but it's a national holiday in this case. And payback is coming straight at us because the European Union as well has said, hey, we're going to slowly reopen. But guess what? There'll be no travel from America. That news crossing today. So I think it's more than just a cute little coincidence when July 4th is really America's day. It's not like Christmas, which is celebrated by a multitude of countries and cultures. 4th of July, Independence Day, is ours. So I think it's more than coincidence. I think it's your people, Stephen, coming right down our lane.
Well, what do you think about this?
Yeah, you know what? I think that they're looking at it. Hey, it's Independence Day, July 4th. You know what? England, us, it's so much intertwined that, you know what? Hey, we'll give it out. We'll give it. You know what? We're going to open up on a day that they fought for independence happened. Let's go ahead and open up. It's a little, you know what? It's a little symbolic, a little troll job, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Personally, I am too. Joe, what do you think?
It's 100% a troll job, and I don't blame them. If I were them or any other country that wasn't America, I'd be doing the exact same thing if I'm in a position to open up. If you go through the science, you go through the data, and you decide it's time to open up, you probably have a handful of days you could choose. They could choose the 5th. They could choose the 3rd, right? They could choose the 3rd and go into a full weekend opening up. But they chose the 4th on Saturday for a reason, pointing to America. And I don't think it's trolling as in the ha ha ha, let's make a joke. I think it's trolling as in the, man, what are you guys doing? Like we've said on this show, the world watches America like America watches Tiger King. Right? And I think people look at this and they say, you know what? Let's open up on the 4th and stick it to the Americans who can't figure out their rear end from a hole in the ground. And if I'm England, I'm doing the same thing. If I'm Sweden, I'm doing the same thing. If I'm anywhere else in the world, I'm thinking these guys are making the place dangerous for all of us. Because think about it, if you're South Korea or you're New Zealand and you get this thing under control, the last thing you want are Americans coming to your country and bringing it right back to you, right? Like, at some point, there's got to be that concern that if you eradicate this in New Zealand, you're going to have people in America who are like, man, I hear New Zealand's really nice. They're not fighting. They get along. It seems to be a very peaceful, beautiful place. Dibs talks about it all the time. I want to take a trip to New Zealand. The last thing I would want if I'm living in New Zealand is to find out Americans are flying to my country. I don't think any country in the world wants Americans flying to it right now. So yes, it's a troll job, and yes, I applaud it. If I were England, I'd be doing the exact same thing. Get your act together, America. If you don't want to get trolled, be organized.
Well, one thing that is entailed with them returning on July 4th is they're going to have these schedules for bars. So basically, you're going to have to sign up, and you can go within the allotted time to a bar. So there's not as many people in the bar at one place as they want them to be. Do you think that that's going to be feasible? Do you think people are going to go nuts, or are they actually going to adhere to the rules? Whoever wants to go first on this one.
I'll leave it open to my cohorts.
Yes, I think that they'll adhere to it because, you know, the only thing more synonymous with drinking in England is bad teeth in England. And so when you look at a situation, those are facts. I mean, Steven's got great teeth, but guess what? He grew up in America. Shout out Livermore and the 925. So when it comes to being able to go to a pub, Steven, I think the Brits would be happy to sign up for a 90-minute window and just get after it as hard as you can.
Dude, you're not wrong. You're really not wrong when it comes to the whole teeth thing. Dentistry didn't make its way to the UK for a while. It wasn't a very popular thing. But it's just, when I'm picturing it, I'm picturing like a guy from like southeastern London who's got his boys together, and we're gonna, by 4:30 to 5:30, we're gonna go to the King's Head. We're gonna get absolutely sloshed. Afterwards, we're gonna grab a cheeky Nando's. Then we're gonna go to Witherspoon's at 6:30. Boom, Bob's your uncle. Like, I feel like we need a mic on whoever's planning a group event with these guys going to bars, because it's gonna be hilarious.
Well, that was nicely done, one way or another. Yeah, impersonation there. Really enjoyed that. Whether or not they follow the rules or they go crazy over there, that's a job well done. I'd say keep your eyes on the beaches in California. L.A. County said no one on the beaches for July 4th weekend. I doubt that's going to fly. Yeah, like, you think everyone's going to abide by that?
No.
First of all, you know there's a bunch of people that probably don't even know it's in play, and you know there's a bunch of people that don't care. So good luck enforcing that.
I keep on going back to Jaws with that mayor in the movie when he's just like, the beaches will be open because July 4th is our biggest day of the year, blah, blah, blah. I feel like there's going to be some that are for sure going to go like that.
Of course they're going to go to the beaches. They're not going to be locked down. They know that they're saying, hey, they're going to be locked down. But you know Americans, come on, guys. We don't follow instructions. We believe, hey, look, we're bigger than the law. We can do what we want. It's going to be terrible, but people are going to be at the beaches, no question.
Dibs.
Great.
Dibs has EPL locks, I believe. We got about 40 seconds against the break.
Yeah, one game today. Dibs, go ahead. Sorry about that. Fire away.
Brighton and Hove Albion hosting Manchester United. Brighton has been pretty solid. They're trying to avoid relegation. Manchester U coming off an FA Cup match just a few days ago, likely sluggish. We're taking Brighton and the goal, plus one goal. It is minus 125, slight favorite, but we're on Brighton today at home against a flat Man U.
Lo, you going the other way?
Absolutely, Joe, I am. So tomorrow we'll find out what happens. Dibs go down again.
Lowe's on Man U. Nice guy, what are you making of that play?
Yeah, I don't agree with it. I think Manchester United are going to win 2-0 outright. They've had since Saturday, and Brighton Hove Albion hasn't had a match since last Tuesday. Manchester United are going to be coming out firing. I think 2-0 is going to be what it's going to be.
Very interesting. The last time you guys were opposed, you were able to get one up on Dibs, but he's the savvy, wily veteran. We'll see what round two has in store. Lowe's also on your side as well, if that makes you feel good. Lowe's EPL lock of the day is Manchester United as well.
I'm riding with you, Steven.
I'm he's riding with witch's you. You said it first,
right
Lowe.
Yeah, man.
All right, that's it. We're done. Bonte, Steiny, Guru, they're coming up next. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.